Get a massive welcome. Good morning. Oh, good deal. Why don't you take your seats? Did you pick up that good bit of advice that Renee gave? Leave room for Jesus. Turn to your neighbour and say, leave room for Jesus. Leave room. That's a good thought. Today we're going to continue the conversation we've been having over the last couple of weeks about the blessing. And this series of conversations and thoughts that we've been sharing together comes from the Old Testament, a portion in the Old Testament where the blessing was given by the priests or the pastors of the day. There's a new song around the world. I'm sure you've heard it. We didn't sing it today, but we've been singing it. A new song called The Blessing that comes out of Elevation Church. And that song is, well, it literally is such a blessing. It's such a blessing to everybody as it unpacks that whole thought of the blessing of God. So the blessing. The Bible says this in Numbers 6. Let me read it to you. Verses 22 to 23. It says, the Lord said to Moses, this was the instruction. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons that this is how you are to bless the Israelites. I want you to say this to them. Now notice this, Aaron and the sons were the priests. They were the pastors of the day. And literally whenever the people came together in community, in a gathering, in a feast or a celebration, like we're doing today as a Sunday church service, whenever you come together, this is what I want you to say to them. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. I love the thoughts, the flow of this this blessing that Aaron and his sons were to bring to the children of Israel, that the Lord would bless you. He would in his blessing, he would keep you. His face would turn towards you. His face would shine upon you. And that he would give you peace and he'd be super gracious to you. And the Lord would put his name on you. How many people want the blessing today? Come on, put up your hand. Give me a shout out today. You want the blessing of God. I want the blessing today. I want God to turn his face towards me. I want his face to shine upon me. I want his grace, his honor, his goodness, his favor, his provision, and his protection. Psalm 84 kind of shares a similar thought where it says this about it. It says in verse 11, for the Lord our God is a sun and he is a shield. The Lord bestows his grace and his favor and his honor upon us. And no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do the right thing. You know, when you walk uprightly, God does amazing things in our lives. The Bible says there's nothing, there's no good thing, there's no promise that God has made you and I that he will withhold from us when we walk that way. In verse 12, it says this, how blessed and greatly favored is the man or the woman, it's non-gender, is the man or the woman who trusts in God. That means to believe in him, to rely on him, and to commit ourselves to him with a confident hope and an expectation. I want you to know today you can commit your life to God with a sense of confidence and a real confident hope and expectation that God will do every good thing that he has promised you that he would do. I think it's really, really super important that we remind ourselves of the blessing. Of the blessing. Not only that blessing, the literal blessing that the priests gave, but that we remind ourselves of the blessing that it is to be in the family of God, to be a member of the household of God, to belong to God, and not to stray from an awareness of that blessing, not to stray from an awareness of the fact that God blesses me every day. God blesses me every day in every circumstance and every situation that I find myself in all kinds of amazing ways. And often what didn't look like blessing at the time, hello, anyone have that go on? What didn't look like blessing at the time, what didn't feel like blessing, what didn't sound like blessing, somehow, go figure, God makes it work for good. He makes it work for good because that's the promise of God's word. Romans 8:28, that God will turn all things for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. That God is a good God and he only does good things for us. You know, it's my conclusion as we begin this sermon. It's my conclusion today that God always does good things, and the blessing of God is often related not only to the grace of God, but it's also related to the fact of how we position ourselves in relation to God as God's children, the way we walk with God, the way we follow God, the way that we obey God. So I've got several big thoughts for us today as we conclude this sermon series this morning. The first position I want to talk to us today about that is so important in the way we do the journey with God is the position of knowledge in God's Word. A position of knowledge in God's Word. Listen to what the psalmist says in the very first psalm, very first verse. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I want you to note what it's saying here. It's saying that there's a certain position that a blessed person takes. They watch where they stand. They watch where they sit. They watch who they walk with. They're aware of the influences around their world. So it says that he watches all of that. Verse 2 says, his delight, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And in his law or word, he meditates day and night. And because he's anchored in the knowledge of the word of God, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Have you ever noticed how flourishing a tree is when it's close to water? When it's close to water. Have you ever noticed how skinny the cattle are in Queensland compared to Victoria and the Highlands? And you see the Highlands cattle as opposed to the Brahmins out near Rockhampton. And you see their skinny skeletal frame under the skin because they don't have the same kind of natural provision of water and feed. There's such blessing in being planted close to the rivers of water. Of course, it's an analogy, it's a picture, it's a reference to being in the family of God and in the favor of God. It says that brings forth its fruit in season. That's the kind of tree you'll be, whose leaf will also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Who would like to prosper in everything that they do? That would be a good deal, wouldn't it? So who is blessed and who is not blessed? Well, the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The man who watches who he stands with, who he walks with, and who he sits with, that's the one that will be a blessed man. So who you walk with, who you stand with, who you sit with, says everything about you. It says everything about you. Look at your neighbour for a moment. Yeah. It says everything about you. So the people we sit with, who we walk with, who we talk with, who we share with, says everything about us, whether we're blessed or not. What is a blessed place? God's word, his law, and delighting in it. What is the blessing? Whatever he does shall prosper. You know, there's so many good things that God wants to do in our lives. I was thinking about voices the other day because I hear them all the time. Anyone else hear voices? Voices all the time. Voices that speak to me. Voices that talk to me. People that call me. Emails, text messages. All kinds of information that comes into my world. And one of the things that I have to do is I have to learn what weight I give certain voices in my world, what credit they get in my mind, how much determination they have in terms of the thoughts that I have. And I've concluded this, that listening to the wrong voices will always rob you of blessing. Listening to the wrong voices will always rob us of blessing. What are the wrong voices? The wrong voices are people with a contrary voice. The wrong voice is a person with an offended voice or an affected voice. You ever have had a friend that's got affected or got offended? If you've got a friend that got affected or is offended, be very careful the weight you give their voice in your life. You've got to realize they're offended right now. They're affected right now. They're bitter right now. Something's in their world right now that's affecting the way that they posture themselves. And the psalmist warns us about these kinds of voices. The voice of a mocker, the voice of the scornful, or the voice of a gossip. Be very careful the weight you give that voice in your world. They are voices of pretense that will always result in restriction and isolation and lack of favor and lack of blessing. Here the psalmist says, embrace the word of God. Love the word of God. If you embrace and love the word of God, you'll walk in the blessing and the favor and the goodness of God. So know God's word and live in God's word. You know, not every voice that speaks should be followed. Not every voice that speaks should be followed. Just because they have a microphone and they're on YouTube, just because they're a social influencer, just because they're popular, doesn't mean that they're good for you. Not every voice that speaks should be followed. Not every voice is a friend to your destiny. Yeah. Not every friend will take you where you want to go in life. Where are the voices that are speaking to you leading you? Where are the voices that are speaking to you leading you? This is what Jesus said about voices. He had a lot to say about them. He says this in John 10, in a passage where he talks about the good shepherd as opposed to our enemy who comes to steal, kill and destroy. He says the sheep, that's us. God followers, we're called sheep. He says, the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd. That's God, that's Jesus. For he calls his own by name and leads them out, for they belong to him. And when he has brought out all of his sheep, he walks ahead of them and they will follow him, for they are familiar with his voice. You know, there's a certain familiarity that you develop that is actually healthy and positive and good for you in terms of walking with God. When you've walked with God for a while, you know his voice. You know his voice. You know the nature of God, the ways of God, the word of God. And you pick up on it quickly. It's like when I talk to my friends on the phone, I don't have to call them up and say, hi, it's Tony here. I have to say, hi, it's Pastor Tony. Hi, it's your friend Tony. I don't ring my friends up and introduce myself that way because my friends, they know my voice. They know my voice. They pick it up. There's a distinction about my voice. You know, often for the mums that are in our church and, you know, when they're expecting they're pregnant and their child is developing in their womb and they're coming to church for a long, long time, they hear my voice over and over again, preaching week in, week out. And then when that little bubby comes into the world and comes to church, it's not strange to them because they've been hearing these melodic tones for so long. And it's kind of comforting, or it could be distressing, I'm not sure, to them because there's a familiarity. You know, there's a familiarity that's healthy and good when it comes to the voice of God. Get to know his voice. Get to know his voice. And it says, but they will run away from the stranger. Run away. There's some good advice. Run away from the stranger's voice and never follow them, the stranger, because they know it's the voice of a stranger. You need to know what voice you run to and what voice you run away from. And don't mix the two up. Don't mix the two up. The next verse says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they will follow me. You know, it's very true that what we don't know will hurt us. What we don't know in terms of voices. So that you can understand and realize and sort of catch yourself when you're listening to a voice that's affected or offended or is polarizing or is diverting you from the destiny that God has on your life. The prophet says it this way in Hosea. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed by what they don't know. So what we don't know will really hurt us in terms of the word of God because it has so many great and wonderful blessings and promises for us that we need to be aware of. There's an account in the New Testament of a man, a centurion, a Roman centurion. He's listed in the Bible as a man under authority. And I love the story in Luke 7 as it's recorded as he interacts with Jesus. What happens is one of his favored servants is dying and has got this disease that's leading to death and he's not far away from dying. And so he sends some religious leaders, respected Jewish leaders, to ask Jesus to come to his home and heal his servant. And then he changes his mind and sends out some of his normal servants and says, look, go tell Jesus not to bother coming, but just tell him to say the word from where he is, and I know that my servant will be made well, will be healed. And then it says in verse 8, it says this, as he's speaking to Jesus, because Jesus came to his house, he said, I understand the power of authority. This is the Roman centurion speaking. He said, I understand the power of authority. And I see that authority operating through you, Jesus. And I have soldiers under me who obey my every command. I also have authorities over me whom I likewise obey. So, Master, just speak the word and healing will flow. And Jesus marveled at this. He turned around and he said to the crowd who'd followed him, he said, listen, everyone, Never have I found one among even the people of God, a man like this, who believes so strongly in me. And then Jesus spoke the healing word, notice these words, from a distance. From a distance. You know, when you understand authority, when you understand the authority of God's word and what God's word is to your life and in your life and what it's intended to do for your life, then you release the power of God's word in your life when you embrace it that way. And this is what the Roman centurion did. And Jesus said, I've not even seen such great faith among believers, those that follow me. And here's this Roman centurion who understands authority. We need to understand authority. We need to understand authority and the authority of God's word today, and not to have an ignorance of it. Ignorance of God's word or ignoring God's word will sabotage the blessing that God wants to bring into our lives. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, speaking of the truth of his word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. What a blessing it is to be set free. I don't know whether you've ever been bound or restricted or isolated, but in real terms, but if you have and then you're set free, it's a beautiful thing to be set free. Ignorance will keep you bound. Ignorance will always keep you small. In terms of God's word, it's his voice. It's his voice. Like, sometimes people get a bit mystical about this whole hearing God's voice thing. And I'm sure a lot of voices they say they hear are not the voice of God at all. They're kind of other voices or imaginations that they have. But the word of God is a sure word. Peter writes this, it's a more sure word than what we have through prophecy and the voices of men is the word of God. So God's word is his voice to us. God's word is literally his voice to us, and it brings right pattern to help us live life effectively and live life well. So position yourself in a knowledge of God's word. Be a reader of God's word. Be a studier of God's word. Be a consumer of God's word. Saturate your heart and your life with God's word. I think that one then leads to this position, which is oh so important, the position of fearing the Lord. The psalmist says this in Psalm 112, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his word, or who delights greatly in his commandments. You know, fearing God is not a fear where you're afraid. It's not that kind of fear. It's fear more in the sense of reverence. It's a holy reverence and respect that we give to God in our lives. In other words, our thought process is, if it matters to God, then it matters to me. If it matters to God, then it's going to matter to me. And I'm going to give God's name and word weight in my life. I'm going to give a certain posture and a certain position. And if God's position is contrary to what's politically correct or to what's popular, I'm going to lean into God's word because I'm not concerned about being politically correct. I'm not concerned about being popular. I'm more concerned about pleasing the heart of God and embracing a position that says, God, if it matters to you, then it's going to matter to me. And it doesn't mean I'll always get it right or we'll always get it right, because the blessing is not based on our perfection, but it is based on our pursuit. Not based on our perfection, but it is based on our pursuit as we give God the correct weight that we should give God and his word in our life. And so the sweet spot of God's blessing is where we live with a holy reverence of both God and his word. The last position I want to talk to you today is a very important one. And I've left it last because I think it's probably one of the most important ones when it comes to our humanness and the way we do this human journey together, relationally, as the way we do it in a sense of community together as a church family. It's a position of unity, and great promise is promised to us. Great blessing and favor is promised to us about this posture of unity. The psalmist says, behold, in Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant, how amazing it is for the brothers to dwell together in unity. And then verse 3 says, because it's in that posture of unity that the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. What does God command when we come together in unity? Life. Life. Life forevermore. When we're in alignment, when we become one, which was the prayer that Jesus had for his disciples in John 17 when he prayed the great high priestly prayer to the Father. He said, Father, these that you've given me, help me make them one. you know, in our collective sense, there's a sense that in our variedness, God wants to make us one. Make us one. Bring us together to be complete. Bring us together so that we be unified. And here the psalmist says, how good that is. How sweet that is. What a beautiful thing and posture and position it is when the brothers dwell together with a sense of unity, where they're in a alignment. You know, how good it is in a home when the family's in alignment and in unity. How sweet that is. How disruptive and how small and how isolating and polarizing and segregating it is when there's disunity in a family, in a world, and things just start to disintegrate and fall apart. You know, in a church, how good is it when the family is in unity? How good is it when the team's in unity? You know, I love the fact that this creative team are in unity. That we don't have a drummer up here just doing his own thing, you know? Or a bass player just behaving badly. Or a piano player who decides they want to sing a fast song when we're doing a slow song. You know, there's no unity. Bands only work together. You can't play in a band if you've got ego. You can't. Because you've got to lay it all down. You've got to lay down the ego. And you've got to realize it's not about me shining. It's about us as a team. It's about us as a team coming together collectively to make a beautiful sound. Make a beautiful sound. Paul talks about this and says that there needs to be a sense of clarity when you work together as a team. You know, whether your team is a family, whatever your team looks like, or whether your team is literally here in church, I think unity is such an important thing for us all to develop. How good is it when the team is on the same page? When they're all on the same page, there's blessing, there's life there. You know, the thing about unity is this, is you're going to have a lot of opportunities to live in disunity throughout your life. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to live in disunity. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to disagree with the people around your world. Just because you love them doesn't mean you'll always agree with them. Just because you're in church and you love church doesn't mean you're always going to agree with church. Just because you love God doesn't mean you'll always agree with God. In actual fact, the closer you try to get to God, the more disagreeable you will become with Him, because you're challenged by Him. You're challenged by His truth. And God exposes the issues of our heart so that He can deal with it. He offends our mind so He can reveal our heart. So to live in unity, we need to be able to overcome strife. It's one of the great keys of life. To live in unity with a sense of longevity, we need to be able to overcome strife. Literally, we need to be able to be reconciled with one another. To be reconciled with one another. To keep our relationships sweet. To keep our relationships sweet. You know, strife can enter a life so quickly. So quickly. It kind of sneaks up on you. It sneaks up on you. And you need to fight every day to keep the strife out of our lives. Fight every day to keep the strife out of our world, our relationships, our connections, our community. Because disunity, it destroys, whereas unity builds. You know, it's not important that we agree on everything, because we're never going to agree on everything. But what's important is that when we disagree, that we don't become disagreeable. It's ugly when people become disagreeable. It is ugly. No matter the forum that it happens in, it's always ugly when people become disagreeable. So being able to disagree and remain in unity, that's called being an adult. That's all it is. That's called being an adult. That's called being a big person. If you've got to get your own way all the time, you're a child. Being an adult is about working to keep strife out of life and connections and relationships. I think it's unreasonable to expect to always live in agreement, but it is most reasonable to always expect that I will not become disagreeable with those I disagree with. I will not become disagreeable. Connection and community is only ever proven in disagreement. It's only ever proven in disagreement. Disagreement reveals our heart. It reveals ownership. It reveals levels of ownership. It reveals leadership. It reveals followership. It reveals family. Disagreement robs us of our peace and causes us and others great pain. Being out of alignment shortens the life of anything. You take the tires on your car. If they're out of alignment, you shorten the life by 10,000 kilometers. And so getting it all balanced and keeping it aligned helps it to run smoother, makes the journey more pleasant. So here's my advice as we close this series of thoughts. Keep the strife out of your life. Turn to your neighbor and said, you heard that. You heard that. Say that to your neighbor, would you? You heard that. Keep the strife out of your life. If you're in a family today, keep the strife out of your family. Determined to keep strife out of your family world, your family life. With your friendships today, your friends aren't perfect. You're not their friend because they're perfect. They are not your friend because you are perfect. Keep the strife out of your friendships. At work, keep the strife out of work. Nothing worse than strife at work. Keep it out of work. At church, keep the strife out. Strife will always divide. As I said, strife reveals what's in the heart of a human being. So don't let strife get into your life, because it will always unravel the life, the blessing, the favor and the goodness, the honor that God wants to bring into your world. Cut the people in your world some slack. Write that down quickly, because that's the best point I've made all day. Cut the people in your world some slack and realize they are just people in my world. And people are people. And people will disagree. And people will say the wrong thing. People will do the wrong thing. And people will not always do what you expect them to do. But love them. Love them regardless. Why don't we stand to our feet today as we conclude our thought and our service this morning? And I want to give an invitation today for people to come back to a real sense of purity of heart when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to having a healthy, holy respect for who God is and the weight of God in our lives, in the way we do the journey with God, but also in this thought of unity. And then if you're out of unity today, that you would give the people in your world the benefit of the doubt. That you would replace suspicion with trust. And you would cut them some slack. And you would cast down imaginations and vain arguments and get back to the sweet spot of the blessing of God in your life. The blessing, what is it? The blessing is God's grace. It begins with grace. It begins with knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and walking with God with a sense that God has taken away my sin. He's healed my heart of that. And I now proudly walk as a child of God. It begins with grace. It's empowered by His favor. It's empowered by His presence. It's empowered by His promise. It's peace. It's protection. It's provision. It's God's goodness pursuing you all the days of your life. And I'd love to pray for us to be blessed beyond measure today. That's my prayer. That we'd be blessed beyond measure today. I want you to lift up your hand today, and I want you to receive the blessing of God. We're going to pray today over your life, over your world, over your family, over your relationships, over your finances, over your church, over your sense of unity today. I want to pray God's blessing and goodness and favor over every one of us today. If you're watching online today, why don't you stand? Why don't you reach out your hand today, wherever you are? Don't be embarrassed. Reach out your hand today as we pray together and as we ask God to give His continued sense of blessing on our lives. Father, we thank You today for the goodness and the blessing and the favor of God today. We lean into it today because we need You. We need You, God. Father, we need to have the blessing of God. We pray for the promises of God to be fulfilled in our life. We pray that they would be yes and amen. They're not given to us because we're perfect. They're given to us because we are Your children today. Today, help us to have a posture, God, where we greatly respect and give great weight to the Word of God. Where we give respect and honor to Your presence in our lives. We have a holy fear of You, God, a holy reverence of You. And then collectively that we work together to build unity all around our world. Because there the Lord commands the blessing. And that's what we want. The blessing, the goodness, the favor of God in increased measure today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We're going to conclude our service today with a new song that we learned. Why don't you lift your voice and lean in and worship the Lord with all your hearts.